we're talking with Ramona Shelburne at ESPN. Ramona, one of the things I love about talking to you and others at a high level who are reporting on the league nationally is you seem to have a really good finger on the pulse of how star players are feeling about their situation. So, so with the curtain sort of falling, how would you describe how Steph and Draymond are feeling about their situations?
I think they're feeling really good right now. They're positioned well. They know they're in an organization that is that has a lot of assets. I mean, would you rather be on a team like the Warriors that has a lot of good young players, that has a bunch of guys on these sort of mid-level contracts that are easier to trade if you need to, or aggregate salaries that you're not in second apron hell? Like, or would you rather be like the Milwaukee Bucks? What can the Bucks do?
Yeah.
The Sixers. I mean, there's not much the Sixers can do. I mean, everyone will want Jared McCain. That's been their best player this year. You can't trade Jared McCain, right? Like, and so I think Steph and Draymond are in about as good a place as you can be. I mean, you know, outside of being able to do. I mean, Oklahoma City is pretty well positioned, right? Of all the teams, but. Every single contender, and I did a story with Denver, a month ago or something at the beginning of the season, because they got off to a rough start, and also they've lost free agents, they've lost guys like Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, right, and Jeff Green, a lot of the guys from their championship teams, you know, ended up going elsewhere and getting more money, and they've kind of gotten ahead of it by saying we're going to draft and develop players that we believe can fit our system, and it's a hard one for a guy like Jokic to see all these guys that he's won with and then now replace them with much younger players who are less experienced. But Jokic is like, I'm really happy that I have a chance to win every single year. I understand that there's so many good players in this league that don't ever get that chance. And I think if you're Steph and Draymond and all that, like, they have a chance to win every year, and they're also well-positioned to make that needle-moving move. But the way they've managed their salary cap, I think you feel a lot better about your situation than a Giannis would, or a Joel Embiid, or whoever else, whatever other team you point to.
The Warriors kind of revolutionized basketball with their love of the three when Steph and Klay were doing their Splash Brothers thing. Are they starting a new revolution in this we're going to play 11 or we're going to play 12-man rotation game?
Maybe. That's a good question. I mean, they've done the strength in numbers thing before, right? But I don't know if they were as committed to it back then. I mean, I just remember it from 2015. That was that first championship year, and they got a lot out of people. And that's a fun game to play, and it works if everybody is really on board and they're all okay in their financial situations and their playing time. You know, like a good example, like Buddy Hield. Okay, Buddy Hield came out and he was firing and he was shooting threes at an amazing clip, and he was starting, and he was, you know, he's doing great. And now his minutes are like 20 minutes a game, and his stats are cut in half, and he's doing fine, you know. But as long as he's okay with that, then it works great, right? As long as Lindy Waters is okay starting three games in a row, and then maybe not even playing for a few games, then they're okay. But that's where you pay Steve Kerr a lot of money, to keep everyone feeling okay about that, because it's, you know. I know why teams do that. I think it's great if you can pull it off. It tends to be hard with guys on 1-year deals or 2-year deals, or people who you know, even just need to get into a rhythm, right? Like you know, one game you're going to play 10 minutes and you stay in and find your shot. Next game maybe you're in for 2 minutes and then you're out. It's kind of hard to play your way into a rhythm. So we'll see how long they keep it up.
Ramona, did you say you're about to go take a nap before going to a game tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what I do, Mark.
I know, but
so I do the show at noon.
Yeah.
And I, you know, get here at 10:30, 11. We get hair and makeup, which means, you know, at LA, it takes me an hour and something to get in here.
Sure.
You know, I have two children, so I'm up at 6 something and take them to school. Then I drive downtown. I prep, and then I drive downtown. And then you can't go home in between, right? Because it's too far to drive home in between before the game. And we got to go, I got to be over there about 5:30. So I was like, I got a good hour right now. And like, you said 3:45, and I was like, yeah, one segment, no later, because I got a car nap with my name on it.
Well, that was going to be my question. You're going to do this in the car. Like, my first thought when you said that, I'm like, you have two little kids. How are you napping at 4 o'clock?
Because I have to. Otherwise, I'll get 5 hours of sleep every night. I gotta get a nap in here.
Right. No, the answer being you're not going home. Like, that's what we're...
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
There's no way to go home in between.
No.
If you finish... I finished at, like, 1:30, 2 o'clock. You can't drive home. That's an hour back in traffic, an hour back home, and then an hour and a half back downtown. That's not going to happen.
All right, what's your car nap plan? Is it like, what's the recline angle? What's the time length?
Oh, all the way down. Okay. We had some tent, and I put on the white noise, and I set an alarm. And I just go all the way down, and so a lot of times I put like a shirt over my face so like nobody can look in and see me.
I was going to ask your address.
Yeah,
somebody wanted to come by and take a picture of Ramona Shelburne asleep.
I'm in a parking garage. You know, I find a corner. Nobody coming over here.
It's elite.
Wow.
It's elite.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
The jacket over the face is next level. That's paparazzi proof right there.
I like the white noise machine. I think that's a good move.
It's elite,
glitz and the glamour of the sports media life is really next level, Ramona.
I mean, because I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock tonight. So it's like, you know, this is 15 hours away from home. Like, you gotta catch a nap in here.
Kids in the morning don't care how tired you are. They want breakfast and snuggles and
6:30, whether I like it or not.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, I gotta get up even earlier because we have parent teacher conference tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Oh gosh,
boy.
I just had those. Those are stressful.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Well,
he's in kindergarten. What are they gonna tell me? He needs to work on his cutting.
He comes outside the lines too much.
He's using too much blue crayon. Let's mix it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Mix it up. Crayon angle.
Ramona Shelburne drooling in her car live on 95.7 The Game. All right, thank you, Momo. Thank you
Good
so
night.
Much. Good night.
Night.
Yep.
Well, that's the real night.
And
right
drive
there.
Home safely. Yeah. There it is. All right. Thank you, Momo.
Yeah.
There she goes. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, who is about to go to sleep.
Yeah, and it's naps. The car nap is underrated. I caught you in a car nap about 4 months ago.
But if you see me car napping, it's not part of the plan.
No, you have a headache.
That means
it's
I have a migraine.
And you actually texted me like, hey, Dibs, I may be asleep in my car when you park. Don't be alarmed. And I actually walked up to the window and looked in. And I was like, oh, my guy. My guy's got a headache.
White as a sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
When the migraine hits you, you are.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
You're down. But Ramona, I like a well-planned. And she's crafted out.
She,
white noise machine, jacket on the face, gone.
She's literally like, I'll come on the show, but you can't keep me all day. I got to go to sleep. She left out the part about it being in a parking garage.
Well, yeah.
It's incredible.
Safest place to car nap, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure that there's security in the building or whatever. Okay, sweet. All right, so great stuff from Ramona Shelburne, Willard and Dibs, and now we can continue the conversation with all of you. Just what are you currently thinking about Jonathan Kuminga? How are you feeling about it? And Dibs and I will kind of, we'll reboot our thoughts on this, but Ian, who's driving around out there as well, hopefully not asleep, wanted to weigh in and has been patient. Hi, Ian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, cool. So I really did coach, did a great platform for the Olympics this year to give those players a theater to win the championship and all he's done. And he doesn't like these type of sticky ball players. They're a little bit sticky with the ball. He doesn't like that a lot. He wants Jonathan to run the floor, kind of put his head down almost. Not really put his head down, but run the floor. But here's what he's shown growth. I know he's been a little bit distracted to the team and all this stuff. And, you know, I had my times where I was mad at him and everything, but you know, he's increased in all categories every year.
Yep.
He's easy top five. Huh? What's that?
No, I'm agreeing with you, but Ian, what if they lose him and they win a chip? Now how are we feeling?
So I mean, that's kind of like, to me, that's something, of course, that you're going to think about, but like, that's kind of like saying a few years ago, that they should have played him anyways because, you know, they knew they weren't going to win a championship. So if you're asking me if they made some kind of trade and got a fabulous, team and they won a championship, well, no, I wouldn't think that was a failure at all.
Right.
But just when I look at like the talent, that it's a players league, and that, you go as far as your talent takes you, I think it would be a failure of the organization to, I lose him, I guess, for nothing. And, it's hard to say whose fault it would be. I mean, I think it would fall on the coach, but I don't know. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, Ian, thanks. I mean, this idea that the Warriors could lose him for nothing, understand there's a number of hoops that would need to be jumped for that to even happen.
Just one hoop, really.
Well, but I mean, first of all, they would have to get to a point where they, at the end of this season, they didn't sign him to a contract themselves. So actually, hoop number one, don't trade him. Hoop number two, you have the opportunity to sign him. Hoop number three, even if you don't sign him, someone else has got to sign him, and you've got to decide not to match that.
I don't think they can offer him again until the offseason. I thought that
it starts with don't trade him.
Yeah.
Then you would have to get to the offseason and not be able to come to your own agreement. Then he would have to go find a different agreement somewhere else that you didn't want to match. Like, for the Warriors to lose Kuminga, I mean, they're going to have to kind of want to lose Kuminga.
Right, or not want to match that price. And that's why the whole idea about the question that we asked Ramona, what does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga? And I think her answer was astute and well-researched and the rest of it, but we're going to find out in the offseason when another team theoretically offers him a contract. Right. That will tell us what the league thinks about it.
Okay, can we reboot that answer, by the way? Guys, for coming up next, what Ramona said when we asked her, what does the league think of Jonathan Kuminga? We'll also share exactly kind of where we stand based on what we've seen through the first 14 games of the year. And we would love to continue to take your phone calls on what you think of Jonathan Kuminga right now, right here, in this moment. What do you think of Jonathan Kuminga and how things have started for him this year, a pivotal year? Just 13 non-garbage time minutes last night. That's it. And three games in a row of under 20 minutes in the lineup. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Safeway. It's Willard and Dibs.
Let's go out there and kick the Celtics' ass! Kick your ass! We're Warriors! You got to go out there and be tough!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You do know, Grandy, that you're allowed to do that anytime. I don't care if we're in the middle of the hot stove. Which has been cold for 5 years now.
I don't know!
You could hit breaking news. The Giants have signed Justin Verlander.
I'm tired of getting pushed around!
And you can just, your rejoin can be Guru screaming about the Celtics. I could listen to it all day.
I mean, I don't know which part of it is my favorite. It used to be, you got to go out there and be tough!
You got to go out there and be tough!
But my new favorite is the, we're Warriors!
We're Warriors!
Because the voice just goes.
Yeah, it's the a tremble and it's a quiver. The emotion, it's just dripping. We're Warriors!
Let's go out there and take the Celtics' ass!
That's the best one, because you like lunch starts coming back up.
Yeah.
At the end of that one. Like, there's an...
Let's go out there and take the Celtics' ass!
Do you hear that? Like, the esophagus is filling up at the end of that
with
one.
With enchiladas.
Absolutely.
And emotion.
That's enchemotions. But it's like, oh my gosh, it's so good. And the beauty of it all is that it was said directly at Matt Steinmetz. And if there's any human, of all the humans I know, that's like, I don't want to hear this right now.
Right.
It would be Mr. Steiny.
And they had a similar exchange today. I love that one. Today when Guru's like, you can't quit. Lindy Waters and Brock Purdy, you got to stay with it. No matter what you're doing in your life, you don't quit. Stein's like, sometimes it's
actually,
okay to quit.
You probably should.
Yay!
You probably should.
Quitting gets a bad name.
Some people are hanging on too long.
Yep. Anyway,
we will get back to football. We have a fancy former kicker joining us.
Okay.
Mason Crosby, who you broke the news to me, is still listed as a free agent in our fantasy league.
He is listed as NA, not available, because he doesn't, well, kick for anyone. But the fact that he's still in the hopper, today I may or may not have been shopping around for a kicker. Yeah. My kicker's on a bye.
Mine too.
And so,
who'd you get?
I won't say, because I'm probably going to drop him.
It's not a secret.
He's questionable.
Who?
The Washington kicker.
Oh, yeah.
He got the bad hip.
Something with an H. What is it? What's his name?
I can't remember.
The Austin guy.
I picked him up and thought, well, I'll wait till Saturday night, Sunday morning, and if he's not going to go, then I have another kicker that I'm going to lean on. But as I was shopping for kickers today, I looked at Mason Crosby.
Siebert?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
That's the guy.
Yeah, okay.
It sounds about right.
I was going to pick him up yesterday, and then I'm like, hey, he's questionable. We better not do that. Plus, you know what my rule is about kickers once Thanksgiving gets here? Indoors.
Yeah.
That's it. All I want is somebody kicking in a dome.
Yeah. So interesting you say that, because the Packer kicker, did they have McManus now?
Yeah, they do.
And he's a good kicker, and he's kicked in Denver, so he's good in the outdoors. And I also think that the Niners defensively are the kind of team that will let you get field goals. Like, they don't give up a ton of touchdowns. The Niners' defense has been pretty good in the red zone, and so the Packer kicker, weather permitting, might be a good pickup as well.
Well, I don't like to pick up people who are playing the Niners.
I know you
That's
don't.
My rule.
Yep.
That's my rule. So I will not be playing any Packers this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to sit Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed just because they're going against the Niners.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Going against Grandy. This
okay.
Is
a, yeah.
It's a virtual must-win for the Denver.
It's a big... Oh, now we can use the must-win phrase because we're talking about your fantasy team.
I said it's a virtual must-win.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can lose and still make the playoffs, but it's
not. It's not a must.
It's getting a little slippery for your boy.
What happens if you lose? Do you die?
No, but I get punk kid giving me his smarmy glare.
He actually won't do that. He beat me. Was it last week, Grandy? Did you beat me last week?
Yeah, I had a hell of a week.
Yeah, he had a hell of a week, and he grinded one out by about 5 points. And his response to me, this is amazing trash talk. It's actually next level trash talk. Because he's hosting the post. He's doing the post. And at some point, I got done with the Fox stuff, and I was just like, hey, nice win. And his response was something along the lines of, oh, did I win?
I didn't even notice.
I didn't even know.
I mean, it was true. I didn't check for like six hours.
It could have
he's
been,
grinding.
It could have been that you were working.
Yep.
Or it could have been that you were being the most disingenuous jerk of all time. Who, me? Did I win?
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. So anyway, if you lose to Grandy, it's fine.
It's not fine.
It's okay. It's not a must-win, Dibs.
It's an emotional must-win.
Well, that's up to you.
Oh, it is.
You're in charge of your emotions.
Thank you.
I used to hate Mark Grandy, but now I admire him.
That's also true.
All right. What do you think of Jonathan Kuminga? What was your answer? What are you thinking of him right now?
I think that he's a great player with tremendous upside, and he will be a very good pro somewhere. And I don't believe that somewhere is here. I think that I don't think that they're going to trade him.
Okay.
If they find a deal at the deadline that would involve the contract of DeAnthony Melton and Kuminga and one other player, let's just say it's GP2 or Looney, around the $8 or $9 million, you're at about $27 million right there. If they can find a $27 million player who they can get back, who is expiring and still productive, then I think Kuminga might get moved. But short of that, I'm kind of with Ramona Shelburne, who just joined us about, you know, Giannis is probably not moving. I don't think you want Jimmy Butler.
I agree.
Zach LaVine, no thank you.
Oh, God, no.
Brandon Ingram is a pass. And as we're starting to move down the totem pole of available options, I do think that they're more likely to do, if they make any deal, it's going to be more of a middle salary player.
I agree. I think, like, names like Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I like the player.
The big guy. In Washington, only making $10 million. But you could see how that might have an effect on the Warriors if you had a body that's that big that you could bring in to the rotation. I'm with you. I don't think there's a huge deal out there for them. But I also think this, if Andrew Wiggins keeps playing like this, you know, I haven't made this point yet. You want to know why, on a night like last night, that Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play a lot? Because Wiggins is playing his butt off. and they don't play well together. It's that simple. I'm not taking, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm not taking Wiggins off the floor because all of you want Jonathan Kuminga to play, or Jonathan and his agent want him to play. No. Andrew Wiggins is playing phenomenal basketball. And he's back and he looks comfortable, you know, comfortable in his own skin, comfortable in the offense and the process and all of these things. And it just feels to me like I'm with you. Jonathan Kuminga is a very, you use the word great. I don't think that. He's a good player.
I think he has upside to be great.
I think he's got upside to be really good. But he's talented. And yes, he's growing. He's doing some good things. I just am not convinced that he's a fit. You know, that last caller called him sticky. I think it's a great word. And what I mean by sticky is that when the ball is flying around on offense, sometimes it hits Jonathan and whoop, it sticks.
Yep.
And that is not what you want. That's not what you want. And so I do think that there is a little bit of a discord, not some sort of bad relationship, but some discord in terms of how the team would like Jonathan to play and how Jonathan would like to play. And that can happen when somebody's trying to play for a new deal.
I don't even think that it can be necessarily in your control. And we think about it in terms of football, where you've got some running backs who can run best in a outside zone scheme, and some running backs who are much more fitted for power, straight ahead, one gap. You've got running backs who are better on the outside. Some running backs are better on the inside. And if the running back's style doesn't fit the offensive scheme, well, then that player is going to have a hard time changing the way that they're good at running the football. And I do think in basketball, a lot of it's the same. James Harden could not play in this offense. I don't think
they wouldn't want him to.
Like,
yeah.
Russell Westbrook could not play in this offense because of the very nature. Like, LeBron James is a great example of a guy who could. He can play anywhere, different sort of way. He can play all styles. Kevin Durant was a guy who didn't necessarily fit very naturally in this offense, but when you're that good, guess what? The offensive scheme changes for you. And you remember when Kevin Durant was here? Kevin Durant didn't do a lot of the pass and move and run offense. They would get him the ball, and he would go get you a bucket. And Kuminga's obviously not at that level, but at the essence of it for me, the way he is best at basketball doesn't fit with the way the Warriors like to play basketball.
888-957-9570. What do you think right now of Jonathan Kuminga? Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, on with us a short time ago, was asked what the league thinks of him.
I think they think he's incredibly talented, and there are a lot of teams that would love to have him in their developmental system, but I'm not sure anybody really wants to commit that giant max contract to him. I think the Warriors have some level of leverage because he didn't sign that extension. They do control his playing time. I don't think they're trying to depress the market on him. That's not how they roll. They're trying to win basketball games.
Okay, so that was Ramona's answer. What's yours? Let's go to Mark in San Rafael. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
A word comes to mind when I think about Kuminga, and that word is expendable. I think, obviously, I'm a big fan of the upside, but I think he represents the Warriors brass not moving on from a two timelines mindset. And you could say the two timelines could have worked. We're one James Wiseman away from it being a great idea and everyone looking like geniuses, but it didn't work. And the fact that he's not playoff ready is evident, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about Lauri Markkanen, or you wouldn't be talking about Paul George over the summer. So to me, he's a few years away from being great, and he wouldn't be a fit in our system. But I think the Warriors need to maximize this window towards the end of Steph's career, and Kuminga's not going to be ready to contribute within that window. So it's time to move on and find the best way to do that. That's my thoughts. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark, thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
That's a little heavy-handed, in my mind, the word expendable. I think that there are a number of ways that this can develop throughout the year. And I will fully admit, on this topic, which you and I have detailed, is going to be a topic all year long.
Yep.
I have already labeled myself a flip-flopper. But I think that that's the nature of the conversation. And here's what I mean. I think we're going to spend all year trying to figure out, is this Warrior team good enough as constructed to actually contend? We know they're good. Can you actually contend? Or do you need to rid yourself of some of the parts because you've got a lot of parts, to whittle down the rotation and make it a little bit more dynamic so that you can actually try to win a championship. And I go back and forth. If you'd asked me a week ago, at the end of the week, no, keep them. I love this group. I love their chemistry and the way they're playing. Then the DeAnthony Melton injury happened.
Right.
And we saw three straight games of Jonathan Kuminga not getting 20 minutes. And right now, I look at them and I go, I think that we may arrive at a time. It's wonderful how they're playing, but we may arrive at a time where you feel like you've got to tighten some screws if you really want to win in June.
Yeah, and I think that when you talk about April, May, and June, the playoffs, you're not going to play 12 guys. You just aren't. 10 is even an extreme number when you get into the real deep, deep series, the deep water of April and May, and hopefully June. You get down to 9 players, sometimes even 8. So if you're a team that has 12, and right now you're looking at 12 with Lindy Waters now not only in the rotation but starting, you've got 12, so you may have a couple of extra players as you get down into the crunch time of the playoffs. So if there's a 3-for-1 trade out there that makes sense, you have to look at it, especially when you've got GP2 making $9 million expiring, DeAnthony Melton gone for the year making $12.8 million expiring, Kevon making $8 million expiring, Kuminga's expiring, heck, even Lindy Waters at $2.1 million, $2.2 million. It's a one-year deal. So you've got a lot of financial flexibility already for next year, so you got contracts that might be attractive for other teams.
Drew in San Jose, you're next up. Hi, Drew. Thank you for calling.
Thank you guys for taking my call. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, what do I think of Kuminga? Like, look, I think he's very much an improving player, and I think he's had some bright spots even this year. Like, did the Warriors win that game in Houston without Jonathan Kuminga? So I think he's had bright spots, and I think he's an improving player. But I mean, I'm in agreement with pretty much everybody who's spoken. I mean, I think they're all saying that he doesn't really fit on the Warriors, and he's not worth a max contract. I guess one way where he could fit is be sort of that super sub scorer off the bench, but he's not efficient from the field, and he's definitely not efficient from the free throw line at this point. And so, using that contract along with DeAnthony Melton's contract would net a player maybe like a Cam Johnson from the Nets, somebody who just fits in the system and knows how to play, because as long as Steph is here and as long as Steve Kerr is here, you're going to have that system. And so that's how I feel about Kuminga. But as far as the trade market goes, there doesn't seem to be a trade out there right now that really makes sense. And if that's the case, I would just keep him and wait until the off season, and you can make a decision then. But yeah, it's very apparent he doesn't really fit on this team.
Yeah, Drew, thanks, man. It's interesting. Again, we're just taking a handful of calls and a straw poll here, and I'm sure more voices will come in. But I feel like whatever has gone on this year for Jonathan Kuminga, because if we go back just a couple of weeks to when Clay was coming to town, it had been recent that Jonathan had been, quote, benched.
Yeah.
But actually, it was just changing roles, and he was still playing 26, 27, 28 minutes a night, and he was scoring actually better, 17 a game since he had moved to that role and all of those things. And there was some relative positivity about, A, the way he was handling it, and B, the output they were getting. And my, has it changed fast. And we're having a hard time finding anybody who, at this moment at least, feels like they really see a long-term future for Jonathan Kuminga with the Golden State Warriors. For two reasons. One, he's probably the biggest chip you have in a year that suddenly people are thinking, wait a minute, the Warriors aren't just surprisingly good. Like, dude, they're the one seed right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they can
11-3.
Maybe they can actually really have a special season, and Jonathan is the chip that could help you get there. But B, here's the easy one for me. If you're telling me that this player is going to cost $35 to $40 million, I'm out.
Well,
like he's not a $35 to $40 million player.
He's not, and that is where the whole rub lies, because that's probably what he wanted. He wanted the max, which is even more than that, reportedly, in the offseason, and the team balked at it. And that's why we asked Ramona Shelburne that very question about what does the league think of him. And we're going to find out in the offseason, if he doesn't get traded, a team is going to make him an offer, and the Warriors have the opportunity to match it or not match it. And I would bet if that offer comes in at 4 years and $160 million, then the Warriors will shake his hand and say, good luck in fill in the blank.
Right, right.
And if that offer comes in at 4 years and $100 million, now you've got a choice to make, and you probably match it at $25 million a year. Although, looking at next year's salary numbers, Mark, they already have $151 million on the books, and that is with just seven or eight players, which tells me if you really want to get better next year, you're going to have to do it by spending between $20 and $40 million on one guy or a couple of guys.
Right.
And if Kuminga's making 25 of that, and you already kind of have him as your sixth man, seventh man, eighth man, you're going to need to spend better and do better than that.
Well, and let me ask you this, too. What has been the most annoying thing to you about the Warriors so far this year when you watch games?
Probably the turnovers.
Okay. I would argue there's only two answers that would even make sense, and that's one of them.
And the free throws would be the other one.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I hate to submit this to y'all, but your number one culprit is right here. Jonathan Kuminga.
He's down 8 percentage points from his career.
He's shooting 56% from the line in the month of November.
Yeah, 62 on the year.
56% in the month of November, and that's not a small sample because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games. 56% from the line, and obviously he's one of the guys who gets there the most.
Right.
Like, I would tell Jonathan, if I were Jonathan's agent or his dad or his brother or whatever, I'd be like, Jonathan, dude, like, one of the things holding you back from being a star is the free throw line. If you want to average 17, 18, 19 a night in the NBA with your skill set, dude, you have got to be amazing. You have got to be 75% from the free throw line. And he's not. Again, 56% here in the 9 games in November.
And he leads the team in free throw attempts.
Yeah.
He's shot the most.
It's a brutal number.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible number. And he's the number one culprit with the team-wide problem that is.
Well, he's not alone. And you got Wiggins at 72%, Draymond shooting 69%, Looney at 53%, TJD at 58%.
But your name,
Pods is at 60.
That's the one. That's the other one, because you're naming names where you'd expect that.
But I was going in order of free throw attempts.
Right. But
that's where it becomes an issue.
But Looney and TJDs of the world, you expect a lower percentage. Draymond at 70%. I'll take it.
Draymond, I mean, Kevon is 7.5 points lower than his career average.
Okay.
And Kuminga's 8 points lower than his career average. That to me is where the problem is. And yeah, I'm not expecting Kevon to shoot 75%. But when you're shooting 53.8 and you're usually 61, that's a problem.
It is, but Jonathan gets there a lot more than Kevon does. And so I look much more at him. Plus, he's a wing player, not a big. He's not a rebounding big.
Yep.
Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Brandon Pajemski are the three that I have my eye on. And Andrew is the least offensive because at least he's north of 70%.
Right.
But the other two, you know, they're the two guys we're talking about.
Kuminga and Wiggs are 1 and 2 in attempts. And that's, you know, Kuminga not even playing as many minutes as Wiggs, not even close. And he shot 60 free throws to Wiggins 47. Steph 38 for 40 from the line. I'd like to remember the two misses, but I can't.
Actually, I can.
You can remember them both.
I think he missed at least one of them in the Clay game, didn't he? I think he missed a free throw late in that game.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's one of them. We found it.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy might have a job in this league.
Yeah, the thing about Kuminga, and one stat that I kind of have created in my own mind is it's a plus-minus related to the team. If your plus-minus is 10 points better than the team's overall plus-minus, then you had a good game. So, in other words, last night Kuminga was a +1. The team won by 23. That tells me that he probably didn't impact the game that much in his 15 minutes.
Right.
Of his 14 games this year, he only has two games where he's 10 points or more better than what the team was. Hmm. The caller mentioned one of them, Houston. They won by 6. He was a +18. He had 23 points. That tells me that he was the man that night, where he's a plus 18, and he kind of carried the team in many ways. The other one was in a loss, where they lost by... They lost to Cleveland.
Cleveland.
He was a minus four, and they were a minus 19. So
he was pretty good, but I'd also argue that that game got out of hand immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
So it's not like there was nothing clutch about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I look more of it when there's a win, a close win, sure. And you were bananas. And, you know, there's only been two of his 14 games where he made that impact.
All right, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We will continue with your phone calls. Tom, Ed, Jose, stay right where you are. We're coming on the Kuminga thing. But I also want to clue everybody into this. Check this out, okay? And you and I, we talked about this earlier. Terrell Owens came on the roast this morning and roasted Deebo Samuel. Deebo has gone to Twitter to clap back at what was said on the roast this morning here on 95.7 The Game. You are very much going to want to hear all of this, so we'll talk about that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
No comment on that.
I am ready to go.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Deebo with a clap back few minutes away. We'll let you know exactly what Deebo said. But we also need to know what Dibzo says, because we don't want to get too close to Thursday night football and an opportunity for you to not get hot.
I'm getting closer.
But it's another opportunity for you, if I'm correct, to get back to 500,
yep.
Right?
Currently 17 and 18 on the year. Missed a coin flip.
What a disgusting record.
We talked about this in the offseason. The one thing that we didn't want from this bit was for me to be 500.
For you to do this.
You either wanted me to be super hot or super cold.
Seriously.
All over
seriously.
The road.
So do everybody a favor and mess tonight up, will you? Please?
Well, the pick is in.
Not yet. You keep saying that. The pick is not in until you make the pick.
Until I kakoosh?
Let's make the pick.
It's time for...
Say the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
The weather is messy. It is an interdivision matchup, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight. Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson getting together with new uniforms. And as we know, the number is 3.5 in favor of the road team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got a home dog tonight. Dan?
Yeah, home dogs this year have not done great ATS against the spread. It's something that you and I have always kind of championed. Oh, that home dog. Some of that home dog. But the home dogs aren't doing it this year. I'm looking at the EPA per play, one of those advanced metrics, and Cleveland's offense is second worst in the National Football League, better than only the Raiders. Defense is good. Pittsburgh's defense also good, and their offense is dead mediocre. This feels like a field goal kind of ball game, but you know what? I'm living on the edge, Bon Jovi.
What are you about to say?
I'm going to lay the extra hook. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Can I finish the pick first?
I didn't even get to lock it up. Take Pittsburgh, lay the 3.5, kukush. There, it's locked. It's locked. I don't, honestly, in my confidence pool, this is like my 6th least confident pick. I don't love the pick.
Doesn't matter.
But I've been hot on Thursday night this year.
Would it make you feel more or less confident if I told you Guru's on the same side as you?
Whoa.
You know what I would respond that with? Oh, no. A classic Guru, oh, no. How can you guys like Cleveland? Jameis Winston has never played a game.
You got to go out there and be calm.
In this temperature. He's terrible.
No, you got to think.
They stink.
Wait a minute. If it was that simple, then everyone would be rich. There's a reason.
Tell me why you like Cleveland.
First of all, it's a division matchup, and they're at home. Second of all,
ooh, those are some deep insights.
I'm not done over here.
I couldn't even get through the pick without you clapping it up.
All three of you guys running around the room. Woo!
I like Cleveland personally because no one in their right mind would pick Cleveland.
Well, that's the other part of it. You know what we do. We lean into things that don't really look like they make sense, but actually can kind of make sense. If this weather is an equalizer and there's bad weather in the area, I'd also say Pittsburgh is going to experience a letdown. Up in the Baltimore Raven game that took a lot of emotion out of them and a lot of physicality just a week ago. That was all, actually not a week ago. It was 4 days ago. You got to turn right around and do this on a Thursday night and now live up to your billing while Cleveland can come out and play free and easy. And as you said, the Steelers, what do they do when they score? What do they do? What do they do, Dibs?
They celebrate.
No, they kick field goals. That's what they do. They've won two games this year where they didn't even score a touchdown. They kick field goals, and they can do one against the Browns and still lose the bet. Fade.
The Browns are terrible.
Fade.
The Browns have lost 7 of 8.
Fade.
They lost to the Saints, the hapless Saints, by 3 touchdowns.
I'm telling you to fade.
Yeah, you can fade me all
I
you
will.
Want. You won't.
I will.
One of your classic $7 wagers.
No, no, no.
All the money.
So I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me. Y'all fade with me now. Y'all fade with me
this
now.
This smells like a classic Willard micro bet. Shout out Micronesia.
All of my bets are micro. I'm not out here slinging it. What's the matter
when
with you?
When you clap and cheer and chant, you better put more on it than $4.19.
What would you like me to put on it?
$100.
I ain't
put your name on it.
$100 on it. No, that's too much.
Say what you do.
Stand on what you do.
Totally. Stand on it.
You won't
stand on what
on
you
it.
Say. Stand on what you do.
You won't stand on it.
How much do you want me to bet? But not $100. Come on.
33 to win 30. That's okay. A good, solid
all
investment.
Right. All right, hang on. Let me do this. Hang on. Before the number changes.
Yeah, that's...
You want me to do $33 to win
30? I made a similar bet a couple weeks ago on a stupid game in the MAC, a Tuesday night MAC game. All right.
You okay?
I'm rooting against you now.
I'm rooting against you.
Yeah, you are. Fade. Pittsburgh -3.5, kukush.
I can't believe I just wasted $33 on the Browns.
But you didn't waste it because fade.
Fade.
Because, you know,
fade.
The Browns are really...
Fade.
Man, I just...
I know, but you make it sound like... I mean, if it was that easy, everybody would do it.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
I'm 17 and 18. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's that easy.
The Steelers are not a good offense. The Browns are a good defense. It's snowing. They're on the road on a Thursday night, and they've got to cover more than a field goal. That's hard.
Jameis Winston has never in his life played in these conditions, and he's not very good.
And neither is Russell Wilson, quite frankly, anymore.
Najee Harris, and that's the Prize Picks play of the day. I don't even know what his over-under is in rush yards, but I'm going to bet it. I'm going to go right now.
It's 181.5.
Yeah, probably go under.
Okay.
Probably go under that.
Terrell Owens was on the roast this morning, and he said this about Deebo Samuel.
Deebo is not really playing up to Deebo standards. Deebo is more, seems like he's more focused on his pregame attire than he is actually the game. So again, if we can shift that focus, you know, maybe that can energize and create some more production, you know, from an offensive standpoint. I'm just kind of tongue in cheek with that.
Okay, and you can hear Terrell at the end. I think Terrell was just kind of riffing, and then he said it, and he realized within 15 seconds, that's going to end up on social media. I mean, I'm just being tongue-in-cheek here. Deebo Samuel, and I knew it. I knew it the minute I saw it. I go, that's going to get to Deebo, and he's going to roll his eyes. And he did. And he went to Twitter about 40 minutes ago and wrote, T.O., cut it, fam! With a bunch of exclamation points. And then I think that's a facepalm emoji.
It's
I'm
a ninja.
Okay, it's a ninja. There you go. Anyway, that's Debo's response to this. And I agree completely. But I also hope it doesn't land in any sort of a way. Like, if there's one human being on planet Earth that probably shouldn't be pointing to people and making fun of how they want to express themselves as they get ready for a game, I'd put Terrell Owens pretty high on that list.
Well, I always believed in the biblical verse, my favorite verse, which is, judge not lest ye be judged. So if you want to judge somebody for what they wear into a football game, well, you open yourself up for similar judgment. I do know this, that T.O. was a guy who, no matter what he did, he balled out. He played through a broken leg in the Super Bowl and gutted it out. And Debo has been very physical and tough, and he's gone out there. So I think that T.O. was just trying to riff and have fun and tongue-in-cheek. But when you're 5-5 and you're Debo Samuel and you're having a down year, then you're going to open yourself up to criticism.
Yeah, listen, I'm not offended by it. This is not a big deal by any stretch. Again, it just, before Debo even said anything about this, it caught my attention this morning. I'm like, really? Really? Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens is now going to say that Debo Samuel is more focused on pregame outfits than playing football. First of all, I see zero evidence of that at all. None.
Like, I don't even know what that means.
It means that Debo Samuel is not focused. It means that Debo Samuel's not giving max effort. It means that Debo Samuel's putting more time into how he looks on the way in for his arrival video than the amount of time he's putting in to actually play football. That's a silly notion, number one. But the bigger thing is, if anybody should be very mindful of self-expression, knowing where cameras are, and playing to them, it's Terrell Owens. My God, he's caused an international incident after scoring a touchdown in Dallas one time. Like, come on, man.
That was in between the lines, though. That was during the game. That was not a pregame fit.
In between the wrong lines. And by the way, was it in between the lines when he stuck a pen in his sock and knew that he was going to make a big thing out of it?
Yeah, and get your popcorn ready all the rest of it.
I'm not ripping it. I have no problem with it. But don't turn around and do that to current players and come down their road because you don't like the result of a football game. Come on, man. You're like, you're Terrell Owens. You're Terrell Owens. So I'll go Draymond. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do. That's what I would say to Terrell Owens.
Yeah, what I would say in response on his behalf is he did stand on what he did, and he played 219 games, and he played through a broken leg, and he never let the distractions, as some would say, whether it's a Sharpie in his sock or grabbing popcorn or doing the pom-pom cheerleading thing, he went out there and balled out. No matter what he did distraction-wise, it never took away from him going out there and being a fantastic player.
Okay, Donovan McNabb might disagree with you, but I'm not using this to try to criticize what Terrell Owens did on the field. He's the one criticizing what Debo Samuel does on the field.
Right, well, and you're criticizing him criticizing Debo based on what he did on the field.
I'm criticizing him for being a hypocrite. That's what I'm not doing anything with what Terrell did on the field. Debo Samuel plays hard too. And Debo's allowed to express himself, and I think it's silly that Terrell Owens would come down someone's road for expressing themselves, knowing the career that he had, which was largely built, yes, great player, obviously, Hall of Fame player, but the name value of Terrell Owens was built by the way he expressed himself. And so I think it's silly for him to bring this up about another player.
I would disagree with that part of it. Okay. I don't think that the name value is built on that. It was built on the fact that he was a phenomenal player, an all-pro, and a pro bowler, and one of the best receivers in the history of the game. And the other stuff made it maybe more aware and more known for the casual fan.
But he did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Okay.
And Debo does what he does. He grabs the boombox and he goes out there and he wears whatever he wears pregame. I don't even know what he wears pregame.
I would argue Debo Samuel does a lot less of the build-up and the marketing, a lot less than Terrell Owens, a lot less.
Well, yeah, there aren't many players who did, you know, what T.O. did, but everything that T.O. did was mostly during the game, after touchdowns, on the field.
I don't know why we're even talking about what Terrell did. Like, that's not even the point. He's the one who went there. Why would you go there? Especially when you're T.O. and you've clearly, let's be real, you've made millions off of the way you present yourself. You may, like, I mean, that's definitely part of who Terrell Owens is. And I have zero problem with it. But don't criticize other people for doing the exact same thing.
Well, he's allowed to.
I mean, you know? And I'm allowed to think it's hypocritical. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.